chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2. It says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shechem two men to spy secretly, say, go and view the land, even Jericho, and they went out and came into a harlot's house named Rahab. And the king came and said, I understand there's some men here tonight. And she said, she told him down in verse 4, and the woman took the two men, hid them, said, they've been come out from someplace else. And there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for she shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after her, after them, the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued them were after them gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Zion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt there. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come unto the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. And I tell you what, and then she said down verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. You know, Joshua sent these spies to spy out the land. Even though he sent them out spying the land, it did not in no way help God's promise. God promised them that wherever they set their foot, that land was going to be theirs. And so it didn't change the promise that God made. It didn't change the price. He told Joshua, wherever you set your foot, he said, that's going to be ours. That's going to be ours. It's going to be Israel's. And he said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And God's word is true whether we see it or not. So we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Now we can't justify Rahab's answer to the king of Jericho when she says that, you know, those men went out this way when she had them hid up on the roof. So she said, go out there and maybe you can catch up with them. I can't justify what she's trying to do. I ain't going to justify what she said, and I'm not going to try. But you know how many times she's mentioned in the scriptures? She's mentioned, I tried to count the times here in the book of Joshua. But the next place she's mentioned is in Matthew in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Her name is mentioned in verse 5 of Matthew 1. It's called the Book of the Generation of Jesus Christ. And Rahab married Salmon, a prince of Judah, and begat Boaz. Boaz was the redeemer that redeemed Ruth and married Ruth. And Ruth and Boaz begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So she's great-great-grandmother to David. And here's another thing about her. James mentions her. Two people he mentions in the book of James, chapter 2. He mentions Abraham, and he mentions Rahab. And not only that, but she's mentioned in Hebrews 11, 31. In the Saints Hall of Faith. So this woman is well known in the Scriptures. She's God, you know, God honored her in such a way that he put her name all over the Bible. When he wanted to talk about faith that was obedient, he says, Rahab, the harlot, saved the spies. Huh? And oh my, she's mentioned so many times. And I tell you over and over and over. But here's the thing. She's called a harlot. And why they call them a harlot was that she had an inn. And people come there and get a place to live and something to eat. And a lot of them were actually prostitutes. So they called her a harlot. But it's not good people that our Lord Jesus Christ came to save. It's not good people that are seeking salvation. And here in this story about Rahab and this scarlet thread, another glorious picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the love and grace of God in the salvation, of Rahab. Look what it says, first of all, there in verse 10. She said, "For we have heard..." That's the first thing she said. We have heard. That's how, you know, Cody mentioned that so, you know, very eloquently Sunday morning. He says, you know, faith cometh by hearing. You know, how are you going to call on him in whom you not believe? And how are you going to believe in him if you have not heard? And so faith then cometh by hearing. For she heard, said, she said unto the men, "We have heard." What did you hear? And this is the thing, a man has to hear. And a man must and hear what God has done and what he has done. And his great work of salvation. She said, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea." She said, "Oh, we heard about your God. We've already heard about it. We heard about what a great, glorious God he is. He dried up the Red Sea when he brought you up out of Egypt." She no doubt had heard about the Passover lamb and how that the firstborn in Egypt died that night. All except those where God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And I'll tell you what, and here she understood this. She not only heard of God's great salvation, but of his awful judgments. Look what he said. She said, "When you came out of Egypt," and then look what he said. She heard about God's judgments. She heard about God's judgments. And look what she said here. "And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that on the side of Jordan, Zion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Salvation on one hand. You brought them up through dry land. Brought them over into, saved them out of Egypt. And then you got over here, and we've seen how you utterly destroyed kings. We see your awful judgments. And I tell you what, when she hear about things like this, oh, I see, she said, "You utterly destroyed them." Now, folks don't like to hear about God destroying things. But I tell you what, if you're his enemy, he's going to destroy you. And I tell you, either God's your best friend or he's your worst enemy. And there's no middle ground. He's either for you or against you. And I tell you what, I want him to be for me. I desperately need him to be for me. Huh? And oh my, you know, and that's what Paul said when he was preaching in Acts 26. And they said, "Oh, Paul, listen. He said, you tell them all about what God had done. And he said, "And I'll tell you something about God. He didn't go over here in a corner and try to do his work over here in a corner where nobody knows nothing about it. He said, when God works, people's going to know it. Huh? When God does something, you're going to know God did it. God did it. Now, there's the next thing she done. She had heard. We got to hear. Men have to hear. And she heard. Then look what happened in verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did I remain any more courage in any man because of you. Here she confesses her utter and absolute helplessness, hopelessness, inability. Oh, when we heard about these things, our hearts melted. We got scared to death. When they heard of God's work, they were brought to nothing. Oh my, they were reduced to nothing. She said their hearts didn't melt. Self-confidence is gone. Self-righteousness is gone. Self-help is gone. Huh? And I say, said, and there was no more courage in any man. No courage in any man. No self-justification here. No, no. And all the people of the land, she said, all the people of the land. And now look what else she said about God now. In the last part of verse 11. Because of you, because of God. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She heard about Him. Heard about His judgments. Heard about His salvation. Showed, oh, there's nothing we can do. We're helpless, hopeless here. We ain't got no courage. We're scared to death. Ain't no man, not a man in this town that's got any courage to face you all. And then she confessed that God is God. Not a pretender. Not a pretender. No, no, not an impotent wannabe. No, no, she confessed that God is God. And not, you know, there's a lot of pretenders out here. A lot of pretenders. A lot of people. They got a paper God. They got a God of their imagination. They've got a God that we... Oh my, I see these church signs and one of them said, don't let life's curves derail you. What's that got to do with the gospel? What's that got to do with God? What's that got to do with sin? What's that got to do with Christ? What's that got to do with salvation? Don't let life's curves derail you. I tell you what, their gods, they don't, listen, that's what I'm telling you. People have got a God that has absolutely no power. He has no strength. He has no ability. He has no rights. Everybody's worried about their rights. We're in one of the awfulest states right now where everybody's fighting for their rights. The only people ain't got any rights is the people's not fighting for them. But everybody's fighting for their rights. I want a right to do this. I want a right to do that. And we ought to be able to do this. Oh my goodness. They want to do that. But you let God come down and said, I will do this. And I will do that. And they say, oh no, 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 no. My God's not like that. Huh? And I tell you, if there's a lot of people, as long as God's in heaven, oh, they love for God to be in heaven. Love for Him to be on His throne. Even use the word sovereign. And they'll say, oh, God's up in the heavens. And believe me, He knows what's going on, they'll say. Like He's a bystander up there. And it's fine for Him to rule in heaven. And then sit on His throne and get His little bag out and start throwing blessings out. Here's you a blessing, here's you a blessing, here's you a blessing. Throwing blessings out. But boy, well, I tell you what, don't let Him get off His throne and come down here and interfere in my life. I don't want Him interfering in my life. I don't want Him interfering in my home. I don't want Him interfering in my marriage. I don't want Him interfering in nothing that I do. He can go back to heaven. Just leave me alone. Huh? But oh my. But they don't want Him on the earth. To others, He's the God of earth. Oh boy. See God in them trees? Oh, see them beautiful trees? God's in them trees. Ain't never told no tree died for you. God's in them mountains. God's in them, you know, God's at, you know. They go out here and they say, well, we worship God anywhere. Get on, you know, and see all this thing and say, God's, everything remains in God. That's what one poet said. But I tell you one thing. You know what she said? The Lord, your God, He's the true God. God of heaven and the God on the earth. He was in heaven when He parted the Red Sea. But He done that on the earth. He was in heaven when He told them to slay the lamb, put the blood on the doors. But He done the work on the face of the earth. And I tell you what, men don't actually ever think about what God is like, what His nature is, holy and righteous, infinite, eternal. Don't know nothing about His character, nothing about what He requires of man. But to Rahab, just because of what she had heard about Him, she said, I know this, that your Lord God, He is God of heaven above and in earth beneath. Yeah, He's not somebody like that. And then she, look what she said. She believed. Not only did she confess and say she had heard, but look what she says now. She believed. Look back up here in verse 9. And she said unto the men, now listen to this, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Said, I'm dwelling in a house here, but I know that God's fixed to take it. That's what she said. Said, I'm living here. This is where I live. But God's given it to you all. How would you like to find that out, you know? This is mine. Nope, God says it's mine. I'm going to take it. And she said, oh, she said unto the men, the Lord hath given you the land. The land. You know, that's what we, old Scott used to say all the time. I heard him say this one time. Said, people buy him a piece of property and they'll put up no trespassing signs all over the place and get them a mailbox about that big around, stick their name all over it and let everybody know, name it and all that, and let everybody know how important they are and all that kind of stuff. About the time they get all that fixed up, then he kills them. But you know, we won't let everybody know what we got. We got to let everybody know. But I tell you what, I heard a fellow say one time that God's on it all, but the devil's got to lean on it. The devil ain't got to lean on nothing. God owns this earth and everything in it. He owns a spot of ground your house is on. And if you're His, He owns you. He owns the furniture in your house. He owns the money in your pocket. He owns everything that you got. And beloved, you know what it has to do to take it away? Take you away from it. And it's gone. Ain't that right? And I like it like that, don't you? I love it like that. Where'd you get all this stuff? God gave it to me. How'd you take it? Well, God gave it to me. I stuck out my hands and He filled it up. Don't He, Shirley? Oh, my goodness. Well, never look what she says here now. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Everyone in Jericho was scared to death. But only Rahab was the only one who believed. The only one in that whole place who believed. And who made her to differ? God did. And her faith produced fear. Fear of God. And what we see here is a case of prevenient grace. And what prevenient grace is, grace goes before grace. Grace goes and prepares. And then when that grace prepares it, it comes grace upon grace. She goes, prepares it, and then grace comes and makes it effectual. It's like Cornelius. Grace went before Peter, whoever went over there to preach. That's prevenient grace. And then he went over there and he preached, and then God saved them by grace. Grace come and start teaching us long, like that song we sung tonight. You know, he opened my mind. And I tell you, this is what happens to you. Her face produced fear. And I tell you what, to fear the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And that's why she said, oh, we're scared to death of God. His terror is falling upon us. And I tell you, beloved, and here's what happened. She believed, and you know where she got the faith? The same place you and I do. God gave it to her. God gave it to her. When Abraham was called to go out, he believed. Where did he get the faith to believe? God gave it to him. There's nobody that ever done anything that ever believed that God didn't come and go ahead before them and open their heart and open their understanding and brought them to where they believed. And I tell you what, and that's why they say, you get all the glory, because I could not have believed had not you given me faith. You try believing without Christ. Try not to believe if you can't. Cannot do. Once you start believing, you cannot not believe, can you? And oh my, look what she did now, down in verse 12. She started praying. She prayed now. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And oh my, I ask you to swear by the Lord, your God. She believed, so now she prays to be saved. I want to be saved. That's what she's saying. I want to be saved. What a request. Here she was, a harlot, a condemned harlot. That whole city was going to fall. Every wall in Jericho is going to come down. God's going to destroy Jericho. She knew God was going to destroy this place and all these people. But she said, oh, listen, show kindness to me. And look what she said in verse 13. And save, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have. And listen to what she says here. And deliver our lives from death. Save us from death. Now, she was talking about physical death, but she was also talking about probably eternal death here. And oh my, what a request. Her faith made her bold. Oh my. By faith, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she sent out the spies the other way. But her faith made her bold. It's like that Syrophoenician woman that brought her daughter to the Lord. And she came to the Lord and she said, Lord, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Would you have mercy on her? He didn't answer. Wouldn't answer. Just quiet. She just persisted. Persisted. Finally, the Lord Jesus said, it's not fit. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's not fit that the children's bread be fed to dogs. She said, yes, Lord, oh, that is, you're right. But you even give the crumbs to the dogs around the table. He said, as thou, Lord, have mercy on me and help me. And she said, go thy way, thy daughter's healed. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. That's what Rahab doing. I ain't going to take no for an answer. I don't really want salvation for me. I want it for my mother. I want it for my father. I want it for my brothers, my sisters, my whole family. And then she says, deliver us from death. Death. Huh? And that's why we say when a believer goes, we get rejoiced. You know why we rejoice? Because they just start living. Oh my. But in my father's house, save our lives. And but that, but of all she asked this there in verse 12, down in the last part of the verse, that you also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Give me some assurance. Give me some, leave something here. Show me. Give me a token. And you know why she asked that? What if you all don't do what you say? And I perish anyway. And oh my, give me a token. And the men answered her. Look what the men said to her. In verse 14, the men answered her, "Our life for yours. We'll die in your place if we don't keep our word. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." And oh my, when God saves this land, we're going to be good to you, going to be kind to you. She's now received the promise. She's received the promise. We're going to save you when we get back here. We're going to save you. If she receives the promise of men, we're going to come, when we come back, we're going to save you. She let them down through the cord. And if you receive the promise of a man, if a man tells, it's like somebody tells you something, somebody in this building here, some one of these men or women tells you something, you wouldn't believe what I saw or what I heard or this happened or that happened. And you'll take their witness and you'll say, "That's true. Yeah, I believe you. I believe you." Just telling you something that's happened. If you receive the witness of men, how much greater then is the witness of God? We'll believe one another. But oh, what a witness God has. And this is what His witness is right here. Huh? And oh my. Faith lays on what God says. And even though it's spoken by men. You know, let me show you something in Luke. Let's look in Luke chapter 16. I want us to look at something over here. This is what I'm trying to talk about. You know that you got to have the Word. And we receive the Word. And it lays hold of the Word of God. In Luke 16:28, look what it says here. Now this is the rich man. He's down in hell. And then he comes to Abraham and he says, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them. Send Lazarus therefore," he said. "I want you to go send Lazarus. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he says, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." And Christ rose from the dead, and how many people have been persuaded by that? Huh? And I tell you, that's what happens. That's what happens. And that's what she said. Oh my, you got, we lay hold of God's Word. Then it says in verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window. Then, after she had heard, then, after she confessed her utter helplessness and inability, then, after she believed, then, after she prayed, then, after she received the promise, then she let them down. Then she let them down. And this is what James is pointing to when he justifies her by her works. And I tell you what, in the side of the men she is dealing with, "I want to be saved. I really want to be saved. But what will happen? What will happen if you don't come back?" And I tell you what, look what happens now down in verse 17 and 18. And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou madest swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And I tell you, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood be on his own head, will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in this house, his blood be on our head, any hand be upon him. And I said what he's saying, bring your father and your mother, and let this scarlet thread, and we know that scarlet thread speaks of the blood of our blessed Savior, the blood of our Lord. We're justified by blood. We're cleansed by blood. We're redeemed by blood. And blood's what cleanses us from our sin. And I tell you, that scarlet thread hanging out that window, that speaks of our blessed Savior's blood. And that's the only means by which a sinner is really saved, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God justifies us, made atonement with it. And when God said, when I see the blood, not when you see it, when I see it. You notice that scarlet thread hung out the window? You know why? Because they'd be able to say, there's where she lives. Right there. See that scarlet thread? That's where we're going to go in there and save her. And wherever God sees the blood, I mean, you're a saved person. Oh, my. And she dropped that scarlet thread by faith. And I tell you what, it was just like the blood that was put on the doors of the lintels in the Passover. And it's through the blood of Christ that sinners are redeemed. They're forgiven. He's our atonement. He's our safety. He's our protection from God's avenging justice and wrath. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe while the age is wrong. And then she said in verse 21, and she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And listen to what she said here. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. You reckon she was saved when they got there? Let me show you. Look over here at Joshua 6. Just look at Joshua 6. Joshua 6. Verse 1 and 2. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now watch what it says down here in verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp. At verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she heard the messengers which Joshua went to spy out the country. God saved her. Told her what he was going to do. She believed it. God came and saved her. Now she's in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's two women. Two women in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And both of them were Gentiles. Both of them, one of them was poor. She had to go and glean from the fields. She was so poor, so she needed somebody to redeem her. And here's Rahab, a harlot. And she's the descendant of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. God's ways is past finding out, ain't they?
Yeah.
Well, our Father, oh, our blessed, blessed Father, thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your dear saints. God bless them. Bless them in their going out and their coming in. And they're getting up and they're going down. Lord, let your face shine on us. Let your countenance be upon us. And let the love of Christ abound in our hearts and in our lives. For his glory. For his glory. Oh God, give us an abundance of grace. We certainly need it. And do cause the love of God to abound in our hearts. For Christ's sake. Amen. See you all.